Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about inhumane, unconstitutional, and barbaric deadly treatment today for those that are checked into the hospital with COVID-19. That is a barbaric scenario that we see taking place where doctors, nurses, and the hospital administration treating you like a felon rather than a family member wanting to see your loved one and the condition that they're in usually with COVID-19. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says, by the way, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. I invite you to call. I want to hear from you. If you had this problem, if you faced this deadly situation with the doctors and nurses or hospitals shutting you out, telling you can't come in, I want to know what you have done, how you have responded to it. And in the balance of this broadcast, we're going to talk about telephone numbers and email addresses of one that you can call in the governor's cabinet that you can talk with, that you perhaps can place your, register your complaint and ask the question, why can't this be changed? Right now, the governor has the legislature in a special session dealing with issues that I think could be continued and could have a relief package in this for our citizens in the state of Florida if we would encourage them to do so. Anthony Sabatini in South Florida, one of the representatives, Anthony Sabatini, is sharp as a tack, and he's one that is presently running for a Senate seat, but he's still a representative. And Anthony Sabatini can be reached, and you can talk with him and others about this issue. And I think it's time that we as citizens, we the people, stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. Here's an article that says, how hospitals kill our loved ones and conceal it. Dr. David L. Katz, K-A-T-Z, is a medical physician, medical doctor. He is one that is serving in a position of leadership with the Yale University Prevention Research Center out of the Griffin Hospital there. In that scenario, this article says how hospitals kill our loved ones and conceal it. The title above is not quite complete. The full title for the piece, how hospitals conspire to kill our loved ones and conceal it even from themselves. It's a bit long for a title, but that's the title this writer is given. The distinction, though, is important. This is not about a nefarious conspiracy or malevolence and willful deception. Rather, it's about an insidious conspiracy of benevolence and unwitting delusion. It is about a system populated mostly by genuinely caring and often highly expert people that nonetheless devolves into routine and dangerous dysfunction. The doctor continues to write, the clear and present danger to loved ones and ourselves is less than occasional failure of the system to meet the standards, and more the constant application of a substandard standard redressed to the mean of it, who frequently find their own failings. We all know that adage that a lie often repeated becomes the truth, albeit pernicious truth. The hospital corollary is a lapse oft repeated comes to define the standard of care. In other words, if you continue to make the mistake of substandard care, that becomes the standard for care, even though it's substandard. That's what he's saying. Over the past few weeks, I have had a loved one in the hospital. I won't say which loved one, and note that I'm not talking about which hospital or the name of the condition of either. This is indeed an indictment, but not of any given provider or facility. My indictment is of the healthcare system at large. And he goes on to talk about it. It's a 5-page article. Goes on to talk about never leave a loved one in the hospital alone. He says, ask the doctor questions. Keep the family members present at all times. Be ready to stay and watch any procedure or say no to any procedure, that is, rather than allowing the procedure to be done just because the doctor or the nurse says so. Put a loved one in another hospital if you feel their life is in danger or if it's needed. Doctors and hospitals do the at what they do for profit. That's the five basic points of this 5-page article, this Dr. Katz in his writing. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm in full agreement with what this physician has said, understanding that it is dangerous to leave a loved one in the hospital alone. There must be an advocate, a patient advocate, or someone that is in charge as a medical power of attorney. Or, if nothing else, check your loved one out. It's against medical advice, called AMA. Sign them out. Take them home or put them in another place of medical care that you can trust or where the physicians will listen. Now, you might say, well, that's a little harsh. That's a little dangerous. Yes, it is. And you have to make a decision yourself. I can't give you medical advice on what you need to do, but I can tell you from a personal standpoint of having witnessed what we're talking about today, I believe it's time that we, the people, take a stand and say, you're not going to kill my loved one. Here's an article that says doctors could have their medical license revoked for COVID misinformation. So what is COVID misinformation, ladies and gentlemen? If a physician tells you that hydroxychloroquine works, if a physician tells you that ivermectin works, if a physician suggests to you that these other medical research materials, drugs, if you please, which are very, very inexpensive, if he suggests that you use them, he is in danger of having his license revoked, considering that he's telling you misinformation. That's according to the CDC. That's coming right out of Health and Human Services. That's coming right out of the Emperor Fauci mindset. So he asks the question, why? What are they doing that for? It is simply M-O-N-E-Y. Money, money, money. That's the bottom line. This article says, in fact, recognized every, even by the politically left-leaning Centers for Disease Control, that vaccines are not safe for everyone. The potential danger for some individuals long has been recognized by the federal government, which has immunized vaccine makers from liability for damages and injuries from their products, and instead has taxpayers up on the hook when something bad happens. Now, a report by the Becker, B-E-C-K-E-R, Hospital Review, points out that doctors in positions to manage their industry are taking the same conscientious position. Agree with us or we'll hurt you. The report explained the Federation of State Medical Boards has warned physicians and healthcare professionals could be at risk of losing their medical license if they spread COVID-19 vaccination misinformation on social media, online, or in person. But the organization left undefined misinformation, and it could include any opinion that disagrees with the CDC, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how we stand today. That's what's taking place in our nation. But ladies and gentlemen, a new finding by a physician that hospitals and the medical professionals are actively training physicians and nurses how to kill our loved ones. Now, let me make that statement again. A new discovery by a physician, a doctor, and I'll read the article in a moment, that hospitals and medical professionals are actively training physicians and nurses how to kill our loved ones. You think, well, that can't be so. That's an impossibility. Let me just take time, ladies and gentlemen, to dwell on part by part of this 4-page article. Title of the article, Exposed, semicolon, Inhumane, Lethal, that means deadly, COVID Protocols in Our Hospitals, end quote. This is by Dr. Elizabeth Villet, V-L-I-E-T, published October 25th, 2021. Dr. Villet is a member of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, called AAPS. This article starts, and I'll read it slowly, and we'll dialogue on it. I'd love to hear from you. 831-0917, 831-0917. Is this shocking to you? Does this frighten you? Does this cause you to want to stand up and speak up? Have you lost a loved one as a result of these things that are taking place? Have you had a loved one in the hospital and the physicians and the nursing staff in the hospital would not listen to your suggestions, your recommendations, your request, your demand for hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin or any of the other life-saving drugs that they've refused to do? If you placed a loved one in the hospital and you said no ventilator, and yet without your authorization, they put a ventilator in, and within a few days, your loved one has died. That's happening across the nation by the thousands today, ladies and gentlemen. This article says, in a shocking departure from traditional hospital practices and policies, admission to a hospital has become like reporting to prison. Listen, let me read this again. In a shocking departure from traditional hospital policies, admission to a hospital has become like reporting to a prison. Prisoners in American jails have more visitation rights than to COVID patients in American hospitals today. One family member, a professional psychologist with a career focus treating victims of trauma, said that in many hospitals, COVID patients are treated little better than an animal, end quote. Shocking recordings of a Mayo Clinic in Scottsdale and Banner Health Systems hospital executives have been released by an attorney on the Legal Advisory Council of Truth for Health Foundation, an Arizona public charity. Executives were discussing coordinated efforts to restrict fluids and nutrition for hospitalized COVID patients and to suppress all visitation for COVID patients. That's killing patients, ladies and gentlemen. Let me read that again. Shocking recordings of Mayo Clinic, Scottsdale, Arizona, and Banner Health Systems health executives have been released by an attorney on the Legal Advisory Council of Truth for Our Health Foundation, an Arizona public charity. Executives were discussing, listen, the executives at the hospital were discussing coordinated efforts to restrict fluids and nutrition from hospitalized COVID patients and to suppress all visitations for COVID parents and patients' relatives, end quote. That's killing patients, ladies and gentlemen. I believe we have a caller on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Hello, my name's Sandra.
Yes, Sandra, go ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, I've been a Christian for 52 years, and the first 25, I really wasn't terribly close to God, but now I am, and amen. I don't understand why the message is not for Christians to quietly be praying to God for His will to be done in their lives and others, and why it seems like you're asking everybody to stand up like a militant Christian, and God never told us to do that. He promises to take
Sandra,
care of His children.
Let me interfere. Let me interfere one moment. Yes, we're to ask for God's will to be done. The Apostle Paul didn't sit down after he was thrown in prison as a Roman citizen. He stood up and faced it. It's called civil disobedience. And Christians have that same right today, and we ought to do so. When you have a family member going into the hospital, as I did, a 56-year-old son in the hospital killed him for not allowing the proper medication, something ought to be done. And it's time Christians face it and understand that we as Christians need to do something other than roll over and play dead. This article that I'm reading now is a new report on the inhumane, barbaric treatment and eugenics taking place in the hospitals today.
Hello?
And it's planned,
Hello?
It's prepared, and that's what they're trying to do.
Do you give anybody a chance to speak?
Yes, ma'am,
because
I do.
You interrupted me.
No, that's my prerogative. That's
well,
my prerogative,
I know it is,
but now
I'll
let you speak.
It isn't very Christian.
No, that's
hear
my prerogative.
Matter, hear a matter
speak.
Before you answer it.
Sandra,
my point
if you want
is,
to say something further, do so.
Yes, I do. Thank you. My point is this. If God is allowing the government, as it has been for 6,000 years, to do evil things, i.e. Hitler or any other times, Christians can't just go and pound their fists at the government because that will kill all of them off. That is not what Jesus said. He said, unless you repent, you'll perish too. If people want to the blessing of God.
Wait, if you're going to quote scripture, Sandra, do it in context.
Yes, sir, I understand that. But
that verse is found in that you just quoted has nothing to do with your comments and what you're advocating.
Sir, whether or not it's in context, the point I'm saying is that...
It is important for it to be in context. God didn't give us scripture. He gave us scripture in context. So go ahead.
Okay, let's forget that scripture. Why isn't the...
Give me one verse of scripture, Sandra, that verifies your position.
Jesus said he is my good shepherd, and he is going to take care of me all the days of my life. I think you preachers are trying to scare everybody into fearing everything instead of trusting God.
We need to trust God and recognize God's on the throne, but we need to recognize we've got an evil, wicked government, and as such, God created government to protect the good and to prosecute the evil, and it's the reverse of that today.
You're scaring people, and you're taking away their faith.
I pray to God that I scare people enough to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen.
No, you're not teaching them to go to God and let him take care of it.
Sandra, thank you so much for your call. I believe we have another call on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
We're seeing what happens when money is thrown into the system. We're seeing decisions that are made based upon dollars that are thrown into these major medical groups, thrown into the major pharmaceuticals. I read yesterday that Pfizer, they have a myocarditis drug, and the sales of that myocarditis drug are up 70% or 77% this year. And you go, I wonder why. You know, so they sell us the vaccine. They're going to make tens of billions, across the different brands. They're going to make hundreds of billions of dollars on the vaccine. How many more tens of billions or hundreds of billions will they make on the remedies for the side effects caused by the vaccine? And within the hospitals, it's like, hey, we're going to send you home, let you get sick, or we're going to wait until it's an admission required so we can collect the $50,000 or the $70,000. And to take a little issue with the last caller, and I just caught the tail end. You know, let's just trust God. We do trust God. We trust the sovereign hand of God at work, but that does not alleviate, it does not alleviate the culpability of man. I mean, when a murder is committed, we don't go, oh, you know, that person was going to die, and it's God's sovereign. That was their appointment with destiny. That was their appointment with death. You know what? That was their appointment with death. But we don't turn the murderer loose. Fauci has blood on his hands. Do we just turn him loose? I mean, literally today, more folks are upset with Fauci because apparently some money went to torture some animals. Matter of fact, get this, folks. One of the studies was dealing with fear, studying fear. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Now, there are a bunch of verses in Scripture, to go to my last caller, a lot of verses in Scripture dealing with fear not. You know, we have the Lord, sovereign God, in control. We ought to fear not. But you have scientists, you have medical professionals that are studying fear. Why would they be studying fear? Now, this entire thing is driven by fear. People are willing to give up their rights, their civil liberties, the things that government is there to protect. They're willing to give them up because they're being petrified. They're being scared to death. They're being mortified. They're being horrified by a system run amok.
Yes, and Greg, one of the things that's so sad, just as our last caller, is evidently anemic, illiterate, immature as a Christian, because if a Christian were to take the position she takes, we'd just sit down, we'd just simply be pacifist and do nothing. In fact, there's some in the Christian cults today that refuse to go into battle and refuse to put on a military uniform because God's in control. We're just going to let the battle take place, and we're not going to try to protect our nation, protect our country, protect our lives. That's the mindset with an anemic, illiterate, immature, so-called Christian. They need to read the Scripture rather than taking Scripture out of context and thinking they can make a point just by babbling. And I get a little excited, upset, and saddened when I see that take place. But, Greg, if you read the article entitled Inhumane Lethal COVID Protocol in Hospitals, how do you respond to something like that?
I've not read that article. I've just read dozens more just like it. When I say just like it, I presume the content points to all the misdeeds of our medical systems, our hospitals, where literally, again, the dollars are driving them, not the welfare of patients, the caring of patients. When patients are severed from family members that would otherwise come in and look out for them, family members that would otherwise come Go ahead.
Let me read you a paragraph or two from this article and get your take on it and your response to it for our listeners. The COVID protocol hospital physicians must follow in lockstep across the U.S. appears to be the implementation of the 2009-2010 complete live system developed by Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel for rationing medical care for older patients 50 years old and older. The Dr. Zeke, as he is called, who was the senior White House health provider, policy advisor for President Obama, goes on to talk about him, says, quote, when implemented, the complete live system produces a priority curve on which individuals aged between roughly 15 and 40 will get the most substantial change care, whereas the youngest and the oldest changes are unattenuated. Unattenuated, this article says, means rationed, restricted, or denied medical care that commonly leads to premature death. In 2021, whistleblower doctors, nurses, attorneys, and patients, advocates, and journalists have exposed egregious hospital abuses, neglect of patients, and denial of vital intravenous fluids and basic medications to hospitalized COVID patients across America. In other words, they're letting eugenics work. And it goes on to talk about this and what it does. It brings about euthanasia. The article further says, now we see its malevolent manifestation in COVID protocol. Age-based rationing is happening. This is a physician that's written this now. A physician that wrote this is a member of the American Physicians and Surgeons Association. We see a malevolent manifestation of COVID protocol, age-based rationing, happening every day on COVID units of higher hospitals. Since the overwhelming majority of COVID patients are older than 50 years of age, which Dr. Emanuel claims that that life is, quote, complete and not worth the use of medical resources to save. I'll read one more paragraph and then let you respond. The complete life system and the COVID protocol both are pathways leading to suffering and premature death, mainly of older Americans. They achieve the government's goal of reducing medical costs. At the same time, hospitals make untold millions, extra incentive patient payments from COVID patients during their tortured path to death, while they are chemically and physically restrained and isolated from their families, their friends, their priests, their rabbis, and their pastors, end quote. How do you respond to that? What should we do? Should we just say, well, I'm just going to sit back and God's going to take care of us, as the previous caller said? And it sounds like I'm mocking her, and I am, because that is so infantile and immature and illiterate as a Christian. It shows there's no reading of the Bible, no understanding of the Scripture. It's just taking the pacifist standpoint. So, Greg, how do you respond to that?
It's without understanding of the Scripture. It's also without understanding of history. We're seeing a type of repeat of the atrocities under Nazis. I mean, literally, we've seen the videos, or at least those of us that have any knowledge of history and stepping back to our elementary and high school days. This is high school, actually. Videos were shown. I mean, for many decades, videos were shown of the cleanup efforts of Auschwitz and other concentration camps, death camps, and the emaciated bodies. And the horrors are all driven by individuals that do not have any respect for life. When you start experimenting on humans, or when you start dividing people up into groups, say, this group over here, they're valuable. This group over here, they're not valuable. And that's the kind of judgment call that we are now hearing out of the Fauci types, the Biden types, and all, with the unvaccinated. They're no longer valuable. We want to separate you. You're not allowed to participate in society. But worse yet, we're saying that the elderly, we'll just take infected elderly patients and put them back in their nursing homes so they can infect everyone else. And we haven't had a talk about that in some time. I mean, not now that Governor Cuomo is gone. I guess that's just gone. That's just, the debate over that, the concern over that is gone. What about the thousands of lives lost because they did that one thing?
Yes, Greg, hold your thought for just a moment. We got Tom on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, thank you for your wonderful work.
Thank you.
I haven't called in for a while. I've been driving a truck with no radio, but my support of the broadcast is unwavering. You do a wonderful job.
Well, I appreciate your compliments and your call.
I'd like to ask you, do you think that COVID could just be the first shot across the bow? That, as you're aware, the Bible talks about pestilence. And pestilence is, you could have a warfare and not really have a declared war. The Orientals have always sacrificed a lot of people and to win. Do you think that the next round of COVID or whatever it is, COVID's only got about a 1% fatality rate, which in World War II, Patton made the statement, you're only going to lose, one out of 100 of you will die.
You got a good thought, because of the shortness of our time, I'm going to ask Greg to respond to your question.
Well, what's coming is going to be much worse, but absolutely there is an undeclared war that has already taken place. Sadly, the hitman was funded by our tax dollars. I mean, the hitman was the CCP and the Wuhan virology lab, okay? That was the hitman, but dollars from your and my taxes went to pay the hitman. So it's a perverse situation, and it's reminiscent of Aesop's Fables. Read that when you get home tonight, punch it in. Aesop's Fables, The Eagle and the Arrow, because at the end of that, it said that sometimes we give our enemies the means of our own destruction. That's what we're seeing right now today.
Tom, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to read one more paragraph of this article, then I'm going to have Greg to basically wrap it up and take us out on this broadcast. This article says, the heartbreaking story of Veronica Walsick was well-known Chicago Freeman advocate, was highly publicized. Once hospitalized in ironically named Resurrection Hospital, Veronica was given remdesivir, which she repeatedly refused, denied proper basic medical care, and could have been a life savings, and not allowed across access to her family, her priest, her health care provider, and her power of attorney. Veronica was blocked from leaving the hospital when she and her attorney demanded release. Her health care provider and attorney was removed by the hospital security. Veronica died alone as a medical prisoner in the Catholic hospital, denied even the priest to end her life. Unconscionable hospital violations of human rights, including even violations of the Geneva Convention established following World War II to prevent abuse of prisoners, are occurring daily in the U.S. Greg, how do you respond to that? And then what should we do as Christians today?
You see some atrocities like that that just absolutely are stomach-turning. And for the believer, I'd say, look at James 5:14. It says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. How do you go and pray over someone? If there is a hospital prohibition away against you going in and being with them. Folks, our rights are under assault, and it's time for us as believers to stand.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.